Well, good morning, everybody. One thing we know for sure, everybody that's here is supposed to be here. Praise God. So I am Doris Moten, Spruill, Doris Moten, and I'm going to be your 15-minute teacher for this morning. Okay, Johnny's going to take over. I have 15 minutes, and I have 15 minutes starting now. Amen. So we're going to pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you and praise you for this day. This is the day that you have made, and we are rejoicing and we are glad in it. Thank you, Father God, for this opportunity to share with my brothers and sisters what you have shared with me so many, many, many times. I thank you for that. Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, my God, my strength, my Redeemer, in Jesus' name. All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to Healing School, Healing Class, yeah, that's right. Healing Class. Yeah. Welcome to Healing Class. Yeah. Praise God. Praise God. I have a word for you this morning that the Lord has really, when I first got saved, my mouth was so terrible. And I'm not talking about profanity. I'm talking about things like, oh, that just makes me sick. You know, oh, I just, you know, things like that. And God began to really deal with me about things like that. And to this very day, he still does. But it's getting better because I've become more consistent with speaking the word, allowing the word to snuff out all that other crap. You see what I'm saying? So this morning, I want to share with you, and I want to ask you, what are you speaking? What are you speaking? What are you speaking? Now, by a show of hands, I'd like to know, how many of you agree that the words are important, that words are important and that they have power? By a show of hands. Amen, amen, amen. And with a show of hands, how many of you know that the words you speak are a direct correlation with what's in your heart? Yes. Amen, amen. Okay. Then on that note, if you believe that words are important and they are powerful and they are a link to the contents of your heart. Now, this is a rhetorical question. You don't have to raise your hands. You don't have to do anything. This is a thought, more or less a thought-provoking question, okay? What are you speaking? That's what I want you to think about. What am I speaking? In those times when something just comes upon you quick, what are you speaking? Are you going to be quick to listen and slow to speak? Or are you just going to allow that womb, that's what I call it, the womb to open and give birth to something? That's what I want to talk about today. The Bible literally tells us to be imitators of God as dear children imitate the Father. Okay? And that's Ephesians 5 and 1. So to imitate God, that means we act like him, we talk like him. You know, like a little kid does when they're imitating mama, they'll go put on her high shoe heels and you see them clomping through the house and with her hat or jewelry, or dad, you know, put his shoes on and they're coming through the house. They're imitating. I've heard it said that imitation is the most sincerest form of flattery. Well, we're to imitate our Father. We're supposed to be, we're him in the world. Sometimes the only Jesus people will see is in us. So we're talking about imitating him. We're talking about speaking as he speaks and act like he acts. So now we have to learn to take the words of Jesus personally. I mean, it's good that we do it collectively. You know, this is for us. This is for us. But sometimes it's for me. It's for you. And we have to know that. So now, say what you have and you'll have what you say. And that's a spiritual law based on the same basic principles as seed, time, and harvest. The same basic principle. The words you speak are seeds that produce after their own kind. You see, they produce after their own kind. Now, sometimes things will happen and we'll allow ourselves to speak things. But these are the times when God is trying to train us to be quick to listen. You know, we have control over what we do, what we say, how we say it, when we say it. But sometimes we just get so caught up in the moment, you know, talking, everybody's talking, and we got to get our 2 cents in. Well, that's not always best. Sometimes it's best to just be quiet. You know, God have led me in times to not only be quiet, don't say anything. Don't say anything. Just listen. You see, I had a situation to happen the other day, and I have a new person that I'm caregiving for, and she was diagnosed with Parkinson's, and very religious person. She was the head over this Bible study group that's all over the world. Oh, very knowledgeable lady. And she was telling me, and I said, well, you know, God wants you. He wants you well. He wants you healed. And she immediately went into telling me about how, no, sometimes God, you know, we have to suffer for him. And as I was trying to open my mouth, the Lord said, be quiet. Be quiet. Listen. You know, don't be so quick to respond. Listen to what she's saying and where she's coming from. And as I did that, I understood so much about her background. You know, just because we sit in a church, it don't make us a Christian. No more than sitting in a garage make you a Bentley. You see, and we have to know that. You know, so as I begin to spend time with her and then listen to her and then share a little bit, and Lord would give me a little bit at a time. Here a little, there a little, you know, because she just wasn't ready to receive everything that I had to say, you know, and she let me know because she would turn around and walk away. You know, so it's just about learning. Now, I want you to hear this, beloved. I want you to hear my heart today, okay? I want you to hear my heart. When God's word is conceived in your heart and formed by your tongue and spoken out of your mouth, it becomes a spiritual force releasing the power of God within you to speak it over yourself when you speak it over yourself and over others. It's all about his word. You don't have to be no big eye. You know, in fact, there are no big eyes and little yous over here. You see, there isn't. It's just knowing how to will that word because it's powerful. So, that is one thing. And how do you do that? By meditating in the word, by spending conscious effort in the word of God. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews 4 and 12. Hebrews 4, chapter 4, verse 12. Okay? I'm talking about, what are you speaking today? That's what I want. If you don't remember anything else I've said today, I want you, before you get ready to open your mouth, I want you to be able to ask yourself, what am I speaking or what am I getting ready to speak? Because we know the Bible tells us that death and life is in the power of the tongue. And if those that love it, you will eat its fruit. No doubt about it. It's word. It's based upon a spiritual law. Okay, Hebrews 4 and 12. And I'm going to read it from the Amplified. It says, for the word of God, for the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. I want to stop there. the Word of God itself, it's not about you. It's not about, it has the same power as if a child would speak it. It doesn't give it any more credence or any more power because I speak it or Brother John or anybody, Patty, anybody. It's the Word of God itself that have power. And I love that when I read that, it says it's alive. The Word of God is alive. That's why it's so important that we speak it, because we're in a dying world and people in the world need to know that there is a word that is alive and active and effective. It'll do what God set out for it to do. And he says that, you know, it won't return unto him void, but we got to speak it and we got to learn to speak it in every situation, especially healing, being that this is healing school. What are you speaking concerning your healing? What are you saying? Are you going by the symptoms? Okay, I prayed and I'm believing God. But, wait a minute. I don't know. Maybe not. You know, what are you? What did you say? Thank you. Thank you. That's it. And we have to know that. Okay, now go with me to Deuteronomy 30 and 14. Oh, I like this. I like this. Deuteronomy 30 and 14. Chapter 30, verse 14. And it reads, "But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your mind and in your heart." That's exactly where it should be. Exactly where it should be. And the way we get it there is by, it's some simple principles. And this is what the Lord has taught me. First of all, make the word of God authority in your situation. 1 Peter 2:24, Jeremiah 1:12. Two, refuse to believe what you see and feel. Honey, feelings can be fickle. You see, very much so. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, Hebrews 6 and 12. Refuse to doubt and refuse to have doubt and unbelief. Refuse it. Make the package of doubt and unbelief the devil tries to deliver to your mind. Mark it. Return to sender. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. Concentrate on the word. Concentrate on the word, beloved. Keep your mind fixed on God's promises. Proverbs 4:20 through 22. Praise God for your healing. Praise him no matter what. I have been in situations where things was going on in my body and I just began to praise God. And before I know it, I didn't even realize they weren't there anymore. Praise God. Romans 4:19-20, Psalms 103:2-3. And lastly, never give up. Never give up. Continue to believe that you have received your healing, no matter how bad things are looking. Ephesians 6:13-14. Last, but certainly not least, confess the word continually. Let God, the devil, and your body know that you believe God's word. Mark 11:23-24. Beloved, what are you speaking? God bless you.
Thank you. Let me bring up one more topic on the whole how do we do this thing that Doris is talking about. Relationship.
Yes.
You can, I know people, I'm just being honest with you, I know people that know the Bible from front to the back. Mm-hmm. But there's no power in their life because they've learned some words. But there's no life in there because there's no relationship.
All right. Yes.
The Word of God is powerful, but what makes it powerful is the connection mm-hmm. between here and there that makes that Word alive. So, relationship, number one importance in having the Word be powerful in your life, mm-hmm. be connected to the one that gave the Word. And on that note, God gave me a word for you guys this morning.
Amen.
And don't just breeze over this. Listen to this. Because we tend to hear this, and we're like, yeah, I know that. You cannot earn it. Where our healing is concerned, mm-hmm. basically any of the promises of God, but where healing is concerned, because what class are we in?
Healing class.
Healing class. You cannot earn your healing. Are you hearing me? I don't think you are.
I hear you.
We hear this and it goes over our head. Well, I know that. You cannot earn your healing. If you hit the mark right every single time of your day, every week, every month, every year, just as perfect as Jesus does, you still cannot earn it. Do you get that? Even if you do it all perfect, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a free gift.
Amen.
So if it's a free gift and you can't earn it, even if you're as perfect as Jesus in your actions, because in your spirit you are, right?
Yes.
In our spirit, we're as perfect as He is. We're one with Him.
Mm-hmm. Right now, yes.
But in your actions, in your thoughts, in your emotions, and everything else, even if you're as perfect as Him, it's still a gift that cannot be earned. So also that means whatever thing that holds you back, that makes you feel guilty, that makes you feel like you don't deserve your healing. Mm-hmm. That guy cut me off in traffic and I gave him the one finger wave. I don't even know where that comes from. I don't do that stuff. I was impatient with my wife. I yelled at my kids. I got frustrated with something. What is it? Whatever it is. Whatever you feel disqualifies you, if you couldn't get it by being perfect in your actions as Jesus, mm-hmm. you're not disqualified because of your actions the opposite direction.
Right. Amen.
This is what he means when he says you can't earn it. Mm-hmm. But we take little things that happen to us through the day, little things that we goof up on, and we allow it to work in our brain to say, I disqualify myself because you can't earn it. You can't disqualify yourself because of things that you've done because it's already given. It's already there. What you do by doing that is you tune out. Instead of tuning in and receiving, you've tuned out. You're not on the same wavelength in your emotions and your mind and all, and you're having a hard time tuning into the healing that's already done. You're disqualifying yourself, not in God's eyes. You can't earn it. Which leads me to the title of today's class, Knowing Your Value, Knowing God's Value of You Equals Healing, Part 2. Remember, I taught a couple weeks ago and I said we're probably going to have to do a Part 2. So, I'm using my computer today because I had lots of difficulties this week. So, bear with me. We're just going to do a quick overview and then get into the other stuff I wanted to do. First off, we started. Listen, we were created in God's own image. Right? Why would God do that other than love? We need to understand Father, Son, Holy Spirit from eternity had perfect love. They did not need us. They didn't need us to function so that they could be complete. But just like us, right? When two people fall in love, a man and a woman fall in love, they get married, the natural thing is to have a child. Why is that?
Reproduce what they have.
Reproduce, but why? Are we not complete unless we do? Come on, you guys are good.
God wants children.
Perfect love reproduces so that you can share your love with a child, mm-hmm. right? God created us as crowning achievement because perfect love, God is perfect love, reproduces to share his love with you. It was when man sinned in the garden that the fatherhood of God was replaced with judgment in our minds. Not in God's mind, our minds. We stopped looking at God as a good, good father or good, good daddy. We started looking at him as a judge. That's where things get cloudy. And that's where sickness and everything comes in. Comes from a guilty conscience. Have you ever seen people that are just bogged down all the time with stress and worry? How sick do they get? Stress and worry makes you sick. Yeah. Your body wasn't created for that. We were created to have fathership, to love and trust God with everything. Mm-hmm. God adores us. Mm-hmm. Everything he made in the garden was made before we were created. Everything we needed. There was no sickness when he created us, right? So if that's God's intention, when God created man, what's his intention for you now? Is sickness okay with God?
No.
He doesn't want you sick, does he?
No.
So what's holding you back? That's what God wants for you. You got to know. You got to know God's opinion, God's value of you, his love for you. If you know his love for you, then you know he's not holding it back. It's not on him, right? We saw in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it said, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus." He made Jesus, who knew no sin, mm-hmm. to become sin. Did Jesus become you on the cross and only you? We were crucified with him, right? Spiritually, we were crucified with him, but he became sin. Why did he become sin? Isn't God mad at everybody and he had to get his punishment out on some man for all of us? See, because that's what a lot of people think about the cross. Jesus became sin because sin was the enemy that's destroying mankind. Sin was the thing that was stealing the fatherhood heart away from mankind. Jesus became sin. Mm-hmm. He became sin. Every sin, past, present, and future, has already become sin on Christ and been dealt with. So that little thing that you had, whatever it might be, that made you feel disqualified for your healing, already been taken care of. And guess what? God knew about it before you did it. He knew about it before you were created. And he already took care of it. So if he's not holding back because of that, why are you holding back because of that? Sin is that thing that gets us cloudy. It makes it hard for us to see God's love for us that holds us back. We talked about when Jesus was born, the angel said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards man." Again, it's always the mission for Jesus from his birth to resurrection to bring us back to fatherhood, a father that loves you and wants you healthy and whole, complete. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. That harmony, peace meant harmony, which meant being in harmony with God again. Peace between God and man. Mm-hmm. See, after sin, we were out of harmony. Man kept feeling guilty, so it's like a band playing music, but it was just all over the place. Ever been somewhere where the music just wasn't all functioning together right? It's hard to get anything, right? I mean, you're just like, everything's everywhere, and you just want to be like, oh, I just can't listen. That's what we were like until Christ was born and brought peace and harmony between man and God. There's harmony between you and God now. You can receive everything the good Father wants for you. Your healing. Because there's harmony. There's nothing being held back. We looked at Matthew 13:44 and 45 through 46. And we talked about, many times we read these and we look at them. It says that there was a guy that found a great pearl. Let me read it really quick. Matthew, you don't have to go there. Matthew 13:45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking for a beautiful pearl, who when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. You are that great pearl. Oh, we were talking about pearls. You are that great pearl. We read this backwards and we're like, oh, we found heaven. We need to sell everything. And who's the one that gave all? Jesus gave all. You're the pearl of great price. We are the kingdom of heaven, God living in us. Righteousness, peace, and joy. You're the pearl of great price. So great that he gave everything to have you. Okay. So now we're going to get into the part two part. Okay. Is that a good overview? That anybody that was here, you're all caught up, and those that you weren't here got a little bit of something from that. Show us where we're heading. God loves you. If you'll believe his value of you, you can receive what he has for you. There's no fear. No fear. First, let's go to 1 John 4. This is one of my favorite verses. 1 John 4, starting at 15. 1 John 4, starting at verse 15. Everybody awake? You guys are so quiet this week. Everyone, say after me. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Okay, now I believe you're awake. All right. Anybody have any questions so far? Anybody believe God loves them?
Yeah.
Uh-oh, not everybody.
Uh-oh. What?
Remember, Doris, this is a handhold thing. It's like, hold it up there if you believe. You believe God loves you?
Yes.
We're a little better than that one. Okay.
He loves me more than I love myself.
He does. You're absolutely right about that. Now, remember when I said think about you can't earn it, but don't just let it breeze over, but think about it? Mm-hmm. That is a profound statement. He loves me more than I love myself. I challenge you all to think about those words she just spoke today. Meditate on that later on when you get home.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's profound. That is definitely from the Holy Spirit. 1 John 4:15. Whoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells where?
In him.
And he in
God.
Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in you and you in him. Is God sick?
No.
He's in you, right?
Yes.
Is there room for God and the devil in you?
No.
Shouldn't be?
No.
Why is there room for sickness in there? God didn't make sickness, right?
Right.
There should be no extra room. The no vacancy sign is out. All right?
Right.
Devil,
right.
Take your flu, take your cold, take your COVID. Yeah. There, you are evicted. No room in the inn. Go away. 16. And we have known and believe the love that God has towards us. God is love.
Yeah.
Not he has love. Not he can love. I feel like this thing is like up on the ceiling.
It was up for me.
I'm going to wear taller shoes when I speak after you.
There you go.
It's not that God can love or God does love or God is love. Do you understand? Everything he does is based in love. If he did anything that wasn't based somehow in love, the universe would cease to exist. because he would be untrue. Those things you don't understand in the Old Testament that looks like God's mean, they're based in love somehow. You're going to have to search it out to get a revelation of how. But they're based in love, or none of it works. Sometimes tough love takes tough actions, and God's willing to take the actions that need to be taken. He that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. He that dwells in love, I believe that word is agape. You know what the word, when you look up agape in the Greek, one of the things, that definitions that pops out to me, love feast.
Oh.
God's kind of love is a love feast. If you dwell in the love feast, and God dwells in a love feast in you, you got a love feast, the God's kind of love feast going on in you. Again, there's no room for sickness. No room for anything but joy and peace. What is the kingdom of God? Righteousness.
Peace.
Peace.
Joy.
Joy in the Holy Spirit. The love feast. There's no room for anything else if you're taking place, if you're dwelling in his love and his love is within you. Herein, our love is made perfect, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because there's going to be one, right? Mm-hmm. Because as he, Jesus, is, so are we, when?
In the Lord.
As he is, so are we.
In the world. So are we.
Right now, in the world.
Right.
Not when we die and go to heaven. Right now. So you can look at this in many aspects. We are as loved as Jesus right now. We are the same as Jesus right now. Again, is Jesus sick?
No.
Why are you? It's not God's will. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. When you feel a symptom coming on, do you feel fear? Be honest. You don't have to raise your hand, but be honest. If fear is the first thing you feel, and I've been guilty of this myself, if fear is the first thing you feel, you're not made perfect in love, meaning you need to press into the Father. Because the first thing you should feel is peace, knowing that Daddy's got you. And this thing is already defeated. We love him because he first loved us. All right, let's go back to the firsts. When did he first love us?
Before the foundation of the world.
Before the foundation of the world. God already knew you, your name, and everything about you before he created a single thing. And he already loved you. That's another mind blower. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Before the foundation of the world, do you realize that the plan was already made? This is not plan B that we're in. God created the world and created us knowing the choices that would be made, and becoming a man, going to the cross, suffering everything he suffered to redeem us and reconcile us to the Father, to so we could know God as Daddy again, was plan A from the beginning. That's love. Because he wanted to share his love with us so much that even knowing what we would do, his plan was to take care of it in the horrendous way it had to be taken care of. I don't know about you, but if I know somebody's out to do me harm, it would be really hard for me to be willing to die for that person. I say this all the time. I'm willing to die for you, but I won't let you take my life. In effect, Jesus said, I'll let you take my life. That's love. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, right? Who has blessed us with some spiritual blessings? A few of them?
All.
Every or all, right? He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Are you born again? You are in Christ. So he has blessed you with every spiritual blessing, including healing, already. Past tense, already done. That's love. Already done. You're probably going to do something wrong in the next couple days at least. He already knows. He already took care of it. He's like, don't let it trip you up. Verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. There we go. Just what we were talking about. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Do you feel holy and without blame? Not always is right. But what's more important, what God's word says or what you feel? If you live by your feelings, you're going to be missing it. Okay? Don't live by your feelings. Live by the fact of God's word. You have been made holy and without blame before him in love because you are in him. Our spirit man is one with Jesus. When God looks at us, he sees holy and blameless. All your sins have already been dealt with and taken care of. God is not imputing or charging to your account sin. It's done. The onus is on us. When we allow those things to block us from receiving healing, it's on us. It's not on him. Renew your mind. Get connected to Daddy so that his word comes alive in your heart. So when you read his word about you, that you're holy and without blame, you're like, thank you, Daddy. Thank you. That's so good. If we look in Colossians 1, we go to somewhat the same thing. It says, for Colossians 1:19, for time's sake, I'll just go there. Colossians 1:19 says, for it pleased the Father that in him, Jesus, all the fullness should dwell. And by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Where do we become alienated? The battlefield's here, isn't it? Not in reality. Sin makes you feel like an enemy of God. Nothing's further from the truth. We have harmony with God now. Sin makes your mind hear the symphony distorted. Where did I leave off? Okay. Yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you, what again? Holy and blameless above reproach. Reproach. I'm not sure. It's something you do with an egg, I think. Above reproach in his sight. That word reconcile in there, reconcile equals in the Greek, reconcile completely. Back again or bring back to a former state of harmony. Just like he said, peace between God and man, harmony. Reconcile, bring in harmony.
See, God doesn't want us sick.
God does not want... You're getting it, right? God does not want us sick.
If we could get it, we could get that, that'd be great.
If you're holy and you're blameless and above reproach in His sight, does sickness and disease have a right in you?
No.
Write these verses down. Romans 8, 38 through 39. Romans 8, 38 through 39. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Look these up on your own. It's homework assignment. Are you willing to do a little work on your own? Look these up. Romans 8, 38 and 39 will show you what can separate you. If you can find something in there that separates you, let me know. Okay? In the love chapter.
Is this a trick question? Rome,
and 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. Put yourself in it. Mm-hmm. Put yourself in those verses. Read it. God is love, right? We saw that. God is love. Not that He can love, He is love. So when you read all the things that are God, or that love is, change the word to God, because God is love, right? So God does not take offense. Where it says love doesn't take offense, it's okay. God doesn't take offense. Read those things. Study them out for yourself. Understand God's love for you. If you understand and believe God's love and value of you, you'll find your healing. You'll receive it. Your heart will be convinced. The word will come to life. Faith will ignite. And that's where you'll find your healing. Get to know Daddy. Don't look at Him as your judge, but your daddy. Some of you might have a hard time looking at Him as daddy because maybe your daddies weren't so good. Maybe you didn't have a good picture of a daddy here on earth. Allow Him to show you what a true daddy is about. Open the pages. Look at, like we just said, before the beginning of time, He showed His love, what He was willing to do, everything that was created here for you before you got here. Look at those things. Understand His love for you. And you'll be able to receive. So I'm going to wrap it up there. I'm going to pray for you guys. And when I'm done praying, if anybody needs prayer, specific prayer, you can come up here. I'll be up here. Are you available to pray with people?
Yes.
Doris? We'll both stick around for a minute in case anybody wants prayer, okay? Father, in Jesus' name right now, Lord, I just pray that every person sitting in this room, every person that listens to this on the podcast, would get revelation knowledge of Your love and Your value in them. That they will begin to see You as daddy instead of judge. That they will receive all Your blessing that You have for them, including healing. Lord, right now, anybody in this room that has anything whatsoever that needs healing, we speak healing over right now in Jesus' name. We condemn it, whatever it is. You have no room in the inn. You are evicted. Get out. We speak healing and peace and love feast over everybody in this room right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.